Picture a woman who keeps her mummified aunt at the dining table, a young man who arrives at therapy with a snake wrapped around his neck, a patient who believes he's the Terminator, sent from the future. These aren't horror movie plots. They're real cases that walked through the doors of some of the world's most respected therapists. The mummy at the dining room table pulls back the curtain on therapy's strangest moments, revealing what happens when human behavior defies every textbook and diagnostic manual. These stories matter because they expose a fundamental truth. The human mind is far stranger, more creative, and more resilient than we ever imagined. When we encounter someone whose reality seems incomprehensible, we're not just witnessing pathology, we're seeing the extraordinary lengths people go to survive their circumstances. These cases challenge us to ask, what would we do if we faced similar trauma, loss, or confusion? The answer might be stranger than we'd like to admit. A nervous psychiatric intern met Manny, a strangely dressed man with beaded cornrows who complained of smelling cows everywhere and wanted his nose surgically removed. He repeatedly sniffed the air, grimacing at phantom odors only he could detect. The city-born therapist discovered Manny lived on a family farm with cattle. Despite his attractive appearance, Manny had abandoned dating, finding women frustrating and expensive. After patient questioning, Manny confessed he was having sexual relations with a cow named Myrtle. He justified his bovine relationship pragmatically. Cows never rejected him, never demanded expensive dinners, never played emotional games. At their second session, Manny arrived drenched in cologne, proudly announcing he'd solved his problem. The cow smell had vanished. But he hadn't stopped his behavior. He'd simply masked the evidence to continue. This case reveals how therapists navigate between professional acceptance and personal judgment, forcing them to confront their own moral boundaries through the most unexpected clients. After 30 years and 50,000 therapy hours, John Carlson thought he'd seen everything. Then Trina arrived 30 minutes late, distressed about retrieving a rock from the road that had somehow compelled her attention. Trina shared her complex family history, a possibly lesbian mother, an abusive alcoholic father, a gay brother, and an isolated sister. Her husband Jake joined sessions, revealing his own family oddities. The couple constantly interrupted each other, creating chaotic sessions that felt more like family circus than therapy. The truly bizarre emerged when Trina persisted in reconnecting with her estranged aunt, making repeated visits despite being turned away. Concerned, Trina called the police, who discovered the shocking truth. Her aunt had been dead for 7 years, mummified by her husband with help from a dentist. The family had preserved her at home, propping her at the dining room table during meals. Despite this macabre discovery, psychological evaluations showed everyone involved to be surprisingly normal. Trina herself ran a successful house flipping business. The mummified aunt represented the family's inability to process grief, a physical manifestation of emotional stagnation. William Glasser, developer of reality therapy, treated a 21-year-old woman who ate from garbage cans in affluent West Los Angeles, a twisted rebellion against her perfectionist mother. Rather than exploring psychological roots, Glasser took an action-oriented approach. He acknowledged her dysfunctional family, but told her bluntly, "Aggravating your mother is hardly a vocation for a grown woman." He proposed something radical, running together twice weekly as therapy, while she ran daily on her own. In his 50s, Glasser met his patient at a popular running street. They'd run 30 minutes, then sit in her car discussing her future. Through this approach, she developed interests in working with children, pursued education, moved out, and abandoned her garbage-eating behavior. Glasser explained her improvement simply. She was doing something worthwhile with her life, something that she could control. His willingness to step outside conventional boundaries demonstrated that authentic connection and action matter more than method alone. Domina Renshaw's sex therapy clinic treated an insulin-dependent diabetic who hadn't consummated his second marriage after 3 years. Despite having warning erections, indicating psychological rather than physical causes, he resisted treatment. A urologist taught him self-injection to induce erections, but after a successful trial, he stopped for dinner instead of rushing home, letting the erection subside. Near the program's end, the couple arrived in distress. The husband had awakened at 2 a.m. to find his wife kneeling over him with his penis in her left hand and a loaded syringe in her right. In between her teeth, she held a flashlight to illuminate the area of operation. This revealed the true barrier. Though legally divorced, as a practicing Catholic, he hadn't received a church annulment from his first marriage. Only after his annulment came through did the couple consummate their marriage. Proof that a client's value system ultimately determines when healing can occur. Violent Oaklander encountered 14-year-old Gregory after he threatened his mother with a knife. Instead of finding a violent teenager, she met a slight, smiling boy with a gopher snake wrapped around his neck. Gregory proved nearly impossible to engage, except when discussing his snake. He remained silent and detached. His mother revealed he had no friends, hated school, and suffered verbal abuse from his intolerant stepfather. The breakthrough came when Oaklander asked, "Hey Snake, how are you doing today?" Gregory answered for his pet. Through patient dialogue with the snakes, he gradually revealed his loneliness and anger, eventually expressing his hatred for his stepfather. After 18 months of therapy, Gregory made remarkable progress, spontaneously hugging his mother and telling her he loved her for the first time. By allowing Gregory to speak through his reptilian companions, Oaklander created a safe distance that eventually enabled him to express his own feelings. What do these extraordinary cases teach us? That beneath every bizarre behavior lies a comprehensible human need for control, connection, survival, or dignity. The woman eating from garbage cans needed autonomy. The family mummifying their mother needed to hold on to love. The boy speaking through snakes needed safety before finding his voice. The man, unable to consummate his marriage, needed spiritual absolution before physical intimacy. These stories reveal that judgment closes doors while curiosity opens them. The therapists succeeded not through perfect techniques, but by remaining genuinely curious about the human being before them, meeting clients in their reality rather than demanding conformity. The strangest behaviors are often the most creative responses to unbearable circumstances. Healing begins not with correction, but with connection. When you encounter bizarre behavior in a client, colleague, or yourself, pause before judging. Ask instead, what problem is this trying to solve? What need is it meeting? To truly understand another human being is to recognize that under different circumstances, we might have done exactly the same thing. That recognition isn't just good therapy, it's the foundation of compassion itself.